This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Phoebe Judge. Just a word of caution for those with younger listeners, this segment may include graphic language of a sexual nature. Across the globe, women experience honor-based violence, from forced child marriage to female genital mutilation. The documentary Honor Diaries features the stories of 9 women from different countries and their fight against this form of violence. The film screams tomorrow at the Varsity Theater in Chapel Hill, and today we'll hear from one of the activists featured in the film, as well as the film's producer and writer. But first, we're speaking with a young woman who saw the film and shared her personal experience with a filmmaker. Jaha Dukure is a survivor of female genital mutilation living in Atlanta, and she joins us today. Welcome, Jaha.
Thank you, Phoebe, for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. Can you tell us some of your own personal story?
I'm originally from Gambia. It's a small country in West Africa, and I was circumcised when I was a baby less than a week old, and FGM has been a part of my family's culture, you know, ever since I can remember, and every girl born in my family has been circumcised.
And can I just, FGM is female genital mutilation.
It is. You know, growing up, I thought, because we see it happening a lot, I didn't think anything different of it. You know, it was part of who we are. And when I came to America, I was 15 for an arranged marriage. And when I got married, that's when I really knew what FGM was and, you know, what it did to me. Because at 15, getting married, I wasn't able to have sex because when I went through FGM, I was also infibulated. And because of that, you know, and being so young, my mom passed away, so no one was able to tell me that I was infibulated or what was going on with my body. So I couldn't have sex with my husband at that time. And I ended up going to a hospital in Manhattan where I was deinfibulated so I can have sex. But my story with FGM, it's not only with FGM, but also the arranged marriage. And these are things that Honor Diaries touch on.
How prevalent is FGM in your community?
It's very, very prevalent. Yesterday, I traveled to a Somalian community here in Clarkson, and I was able to meet with some Somalian women just to talk to them because I didn't want to just look at it from a Gambian perspective. I wanted to talk to other women in different communities and see if this is as prevalent in their community. And one of the women that I was talking to was telling me that her daughter that's born here in the United States, she can't tell people that she didn't circumcise her daughter because that would make her daughter unsuitable for marriage. And she was telling me just how prevalent FGM is in their community. And now that they have a war in Somalia, people are sending their kids to neighboring countries like Kenya to have them circumcised. And these are issues that are happening here in Atlanta, here in Georgia. And I elected officials are not taking any action and no one is talking about it. No one is taking it seriously.
You are married, your second marriage, also an arranged marriage. What's the reaction from your husband to your speaking out against female genital mutilation?
He doesn't like it. He has issues with it, but, you know, this is who I am. And FGM, the arranged marriages, all of that has had an effect in my life, and I see it not just happening to me, but I see it happening to other girls. And every time I hear about these stories, it reminds me of what I've been through, and I don't want to see it continuing happening. And one thing I told my husband is, as long as he respects my individuality, because that's all I ask from him, he doesn't have to agree with the things that I'm doing, neither does he have to change his views, but I just need him to accept what I am doing and respect who I am. And, you know, that's all I ask. It's not something that's easy for him to accept because he gets pressure from his family. People are constantly calling him, telling him, why is she posting these things on Facebook, on Twitter? Why is she in the media? You know, she's a Muslim woman. It's haram for her to do these things. And I know my religion, you know, I'm a proud Muslim. And I know that it's not right to force someone to get married. It's not right to mutilate women in the name of religion.
So, Jaha, you saw Honor Diaries and you were moved by the film. What was your reaction when you saw a movie about all of these, a documentary about all of these issues that you were living with on a daily basis?
When I saw Honor Diaries, one thing that stuck out to me was seeing what these women were dealing with, seeing the struggles that they were having, speaking out about these things. You know, because last year I was featured in the New York Daily News. And when that happened, it was a backlash from my whole family and my whole community, wherein people stopped talking to me. When I went to events, people were looking at me weirdly, and it made me so uncomfortable. Then I was like, you know, this is not my battle. I can't fight this by myself. So I just gave up on everything that I was doing. But then when I saw Honor Diaries and I saw what these women were doing, it brought me to a point wherein I realized that I can't give up, because here are these women that are facing death threats. People are telling them all these things, but that didn't make them give up. It, you know, they inspired me to not give up in my fight. Even if it ends up helping one person, to me, it's worth it.
And you shared your reaction with the film's writer and producer, Paula Queskin. Paula joins us now. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
So, Paula, the film starts, Honor Diary starts with a montage of different women describing the concept of honor. Let's listen to that first clip.
If I was to explain the concept of honor as a personal experience, I would say this. I was 14 years old and I came home from school. My mother sat me down. She presented me with a photograph of the man that I was to learn I was promised to from the age of 8. My family took me out of education. My mother said to me, "You either come home and marry who we say, or from this day forward, you are now dead in our eyes." Predominantly women are conditioned to adhere to a set of honour codes within the family.
Honour is something that is carried and contained in women and is there to be guarded by men.
Paula, can you describe what honour-based violence is?
Honor-based violence is actually very difficult to explain to Western audiences because the concept of honor for us is something positive. When we talk about honor, we think of the honor roll or that it's an honor to be speaking with you. But honor in a lot of cultures and societies is an abstract concept that is held within women's bodies. And so their choices are not their own, and the choices they do make have a reflection upon their family. So honor-based violence takes place within a woman's body. It can be manifested in honor killings, honor violence, female genital mutilation, but even small things such as the way a woman dresses or acts or behaves.
The women featured in your film are all addressing honor-based violence in different ways. One of the women featured in this film is Zainab Khan. Zainab is an artist and licensed therapist based in Chicago. She also joins us today. Welcome, Zainab.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tell us about your work to fight honor-based violence.
I've seen honor-based violence very prevalent within our own communities here, and I can speak about it from a personal level and how it impacts not just an individual, but also their family, their community, their lifestyle. And it's a phenomenon where, you know, unfortunately, a woman is subjected to violence by her collective family or community in order to restore honor, which is presumed to have been lost by her behavior. And I have worked firsthand with men and women who have been affected by honor-based violence, and geographically, culturally, religiously, and even generationally, they all carry a different story. However, it's a complete violation of human rights at its most personal and intimate level. And I want to state that regardless of, you know, knowing that this is a culturally sensitive topic, it's imperative to state that culture is no excuse for abuse.
You're a first-generation immigrant of Pakistani descent. How does that impact your approach to these issues?
Well, I've been very fortunate that I've had support and I've had parents that have promoted, you know, education and autonomy and independence. But at the same time, I have experience working with, you know, members within my own community that unfortunately don't have those options, or they're very socially obliged to the code of honor, or their potential sites of conflict between themselves and honor that's collective within social and family constraints, or because of their choice of sexual or marital partner, their education or employment, dress, behavior, contact with the opposite sex, their sexuality, And also there's a general conformity to the family and community's culture and expectations.
Paula, can you give us some context to understand honor violence in the United States? I mean, I think that there's a great majority of people in this country who believe that these are things that do not happen here. They happen far away, but that's absolutely not true.
You're absolutely right. It's a growing problem in the United States, and it's something that fortunately people are starting now to take note of. There are groups that estimate that over the course of 2 years, 3,000 forced marriages took place in the United States. Now, those are estimates because, unfortunately, the data is not available. And that's one of the things we hope to accomplish with Honor Diaries, to get more people involved and to get government officials to pay attention to be able to get real data. But that's approximately 1,500 forced marriages every year. And the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention believe that 150,000 to 200,000 American girls are at risk of FGM every year. So this certainly is a problem that's taking place within the United States, and it's something that we really do need to address.
One of the issues that often comes up in this conversation is that we can't tackle global honor violence because it's a cultural issue. You know, we aren't allowed to speak about it or criticize it as openly as maybe it should be. Let's listen to a clip about that.
We shy away from criticizing anything that's different because we don't want to be seen as the type of people who would restrict people's expression, you know, and I think that that's very, very well motivated.
They fear treading on cultural toes, and we're constantly having to remind them that cultural acceptance does not mean accepting the unacceptable.
And so we have to really educate people who think that this is culture and get them to understand that they shouldn't be afraid of helping someone because they're afraid of insulting or offending a community. That it's never okay to allow human beings to have their human rights violated by saying that this is cultural.
It is not part of my culture or anybody's culture to be abused.
That was some of the voices featured in the documentary Honor Diaries. Zainab, why do you think Western society has a hard time understanding the concept of honor?
I think there's a lot of cultural taboos. It's a sensitive topic. We don't want to step on anybody's toes, and we don't want to offend. And unfortunately, what we're doing is we're actually promoting these atrocious crimes by staying silent.
And Jaha, what is your response to the idea that honor violence is a cultural issue?
I say to the people that say that to imagine themselves in our places and imagine, you know, their daughters, their sisters, and all the women in their lives. Because when you think about honor violence and you think about all these harmful things that are happening to these women in the name of honor, and these are usually, you know, girls that you went to school with, people that you work with, you've probably seen most of these girls that have been through FGM, forced marriages, and things like that. And it's not a cultural issue. It's a human issue. And it's our responsibility as humans to stand up and say no to some of these things. So I urge people to take action, get involved, and, you know, watch the movie, because the movie has really inspired me. And I'm sure with most people watching this movie and listening to these stories, they'll want to get involved as well.
Paula, all of these women featured in the film are connected to Muslim majority communities. Can you talk about why that's important?
Well, I think it's important only in the sense that these abuses take place oftentimes in Muslim majority societies. But let's not be mistaken that they only take place in Muslim majority societies. In fact, these abuses also take place in the Sikh and the Hindu community. And no major religion sanctions or condones any of this behavior. So this isn't really a religious issue. Perhaps it's a cultural issue. Perhaps it's just a human rights issue. But this is not a critique of any particular religion. It's really a critique of abuses that take place in the name of religion or culture.
And how does the film, Paula, address this issue of culture and religion?
Well, the film centers on a salon that takes place when the 9 women are brought together. And the inspiration for that was the salons during the French period, the 18th century salons, in which women gathered progressives in their homes and spoke about new ideas. And so the concept here was to bring women together to speak about progressive ideas openly and candidly, and not necessarily land on an answer, but rather raise questions. And that's what the film does. It tracks the conversation and the friendship of these women, and it does raise questions like, is this honor? Is this culture? Is this religion? Is this tradition? And what can we do about it?
There's an interesting moment in the film where these group of women discuss the possibility that women are actually perpetuating this idea of honor, because men might not actually have that big of a problem with it, but women are allowing these traditions to go on. That was rather surprising to me. What do you think about that idea, that women are the culprits in some way?
Well, the women are culprits, but they're also the ones who experience the abuse. So I do think that it's something important that we talk about, that we realize that women are sometimes the perpetrators of these abuses. Oftentimes, FGM is performed by women. I think it's usually exclusively performed by women. But they're part of a patriarchal society that promotes that concept, that promotes that tradition. So certainly we know that women are also ones that perpetrate these crimes, and I think we have to take an honest look. For example, there was a horrendous honor killing that took place in the UK that's documented within the film, in which a mother is the one that had her sons kill her daughter. And this has happened time and again around the world. Now, that mother is in jail and should be in jail, and I don't think that she should be excused for her conduct. But I also think that's important to look within the context of a system that encourages women to treat their daughters that way and to hold their honor, their daughter's honor, over and above their daughter's happiness or their health.
Zainab, just quickly, what do you think this film says about hopes for the future?
I think this film has opened up a powerful platform of dialogue. We've really seen an outpour of responses from not just girls and women here in the U.S. and the U.K. and Canada, but also globally. For example, the Arabic page of Honor Diaries has over 35,000 likes. And if you read some of the comments that are on there, it really is beginning to come to me as almost like this is a breaking the ice. And it's about breaking the ice and providing this platform for dialogue where some of these taboo topics and these sensitive issues can actually be addressed.
Jaha Dukure is an activist fighting against female genital mutilation. Thanks, Jaha.
Thank you.
And Zainab Khan also works to address honor violence in the U.S. Thanks, Zainab.
Thank you.
And Paula Queskin is the writer and producer of Honor Diaries. Thanks to you, Paula.
Thank you.
The film screens at the Varsity Theater in Chapel Hill tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. You can find out more details and watch a trailer for the film on our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we'll talk about Sunshine Week and increasing access to public records.